Good morning. It's good to have you with us today. We continue in our little mini-series, Where is God? This morning, and we'll have a look at the last of our three topics, Has God Lost Control? And this morning, as we address this issue, I want to pick up Psalm 23, that very well-known psalm. So I want you to open your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 23. This is a psalm that David wrote, and listen to what he has to say. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, this is the word of God. Let's pray now as we come to open this word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another glorious day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to meet around the Bible, even though we are separated in our homes. And Lord, we do ask and pray that you would open up this well-known portion of the Bible to us so that we might understand it with and see it with new eyes, that we might realize, Lord, that you are still in control. And we do pray this in your name. Amen. Now, friends, the more we look at life today, the more the question comes to the fore, is God still here? Where is God? The past 2 weeks, we've been asking this question, and we've had a look and addressed the issues of, is God perhaps dead? And we discovered, no, he is not dead. Then last week, we had a look at the question of, well, perhaps God doesn't care for us any longer. And we were able to understand from the Bible that God still cares for us. Remember that he is still like a shadow to us. He is with us every step of the way. This morning, in the final installment in this mini-series, we address the question, has God lost control? Perhaps that's why we can't see God anymore. And it's easy to think this when we look at the situation around us. As we face the untold struggles and difficulties, as we continue to battle with lockdown and this virus, with more and more messages circulating about that this virus was made by humans, this is just a big conspiracy. What are we to do? Has God lost control? The ever-increasing school of thought that God had control of the world at one stage, but after many attempts to gain control, he has finally lost it. He's tried and tried and tried, but finally lost control, and as such, there is no longer any hope. We have to sort ourselves out. Today, I want to have a look at three situations that the psalmist brings to the fore here that show us that God has not lost control. And as we do it, we're going to address this very well-known psalm. We're going to break it into three sections and have a look at it. So, three comments this morning. The first one, the Lord is my shepherd. You should see the outline here, and you can follow with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, for us in a semi-Western culture, We know little of what shepherds really do or did. We judge a shepherd by looking at the huge farms in the Karoo and think that is what a shepherd is. Push the animals into a field and forget about them for weeks on end. In David's time, in King David's time, around about 1000 BC, and in fact in certain cultures right up to today, shepherds lived with their flocks. They knew the name of each sheep, and each sheep knew the voice of their own shepherd. A shepherd in David's time took real care of his sheep, even perhaps as you and I might care for our own pets. David is now using the analogy of a shepherd to tell us who Jesus is and what he does for us. Now notice here that as David tells us that the Lord is the shepherd, he makes an amazing statement about himself. Look what he goes on to say. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, and then he makes a statement about himself, I lack nothing. So with God as our shepherd, David's response is that he lacks nothing. One of the things that sheep of Jesus' time, of in fact of David's time, was that they never needed to worry about who was looking after them. Verse 2, the shepherd would give the sheep rest and comfort. That's the idea, the description here, that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. It's the idea that you have security, that the sheep never lacked food or water, that the sheep had rest, that the sheep had protection. And David is saying, with the Lord as my shepherd, I have protection, I have rest, I have food and water, I have what I need. Now, we might say, yeah, okay, Dion, that's all well and good, but that was back in David's time. Look at today. Look at our economy. Look at our stress levels that all of us are under. Just through this lockdown, I've heard from a number of different doctors that more and more children are being diagnosed with stress, and particularly because of this virus. And so you say, yeah, okay, good, Dion, the Lord is our shepherd, but really, we don't have rest, we don't have this care and this need, this peace that the Lord gives us. Look how many hungry people there are in our world today. But friends, we need to understand from this passage that those who are in the Lord, who have Jesus Christ as their shepherd, are the ones who will lack nothing. I shall not be in want. The NIV uses the phrase, not be in want. The idea is that all our needs have been met when we are in Christ. Our trouble, I think, today, and why we fail to see that the Lord takes care of us, is because we struggle to differentiate between our desire for something, our lust for something, and our basic needs. We think they are all wrapped up in one and the same. So our desire to get a better car means that the Lord is not providing for me because I don't have a better car, or whatever it might be. We think that all of us deserve the best, that all of us deserve the biggest salaries, that all of us deserve the best health, because, hey, well, we've followed the Lord Jesus Christ for years. I'm afraid to say, friends, that our thinking, our mentality has been swallowed up by the modern society that we live in. A society that says if you don't have this, you are nobody. If you don't mix with those people, then you are nothing. Our society that says bigger is better. And we always compare ourselves up. We always look at what the wealthy have and say, oh, I wish I could. And so our desires are for those things rather than reflecting on our needs, our basic wants. Seldom, friends, if ever, do we look behind us to see what those who are less fortunate than us have. I recall years ago, Helen and I were going on holiday. I think either Andrew was a little baby or Megan was a little baby. And we were driving through the Transkei. And I just made the comment to Helen. We had the car. The car was loaded with all our holiday gear. We had the bicycles on the back of the car. We had the caravan behind that. The car was riding at quite an angle. And I said to Helen, as we drove past a very informal settlement, it suddenly struck me, and I said to Helen, you know that we've probably got more stuff in this car than a lot of these people own. And that was just our holiday stuff. And yet, we always compare ourselves to what we don't have, rather than what we do have. We've been working through James in our devotional booklets, and one of the things that James has told us in chapter 3 is that our quarrels, our fights are happening because of our evil desires to get more stuff. I'm jealous of so-and-so who have that. And so we squabble and fight and we don't like them because they have more than us. Friends, with the Lord Jesus as our shepherd, we are not in want. For the sheep, all that they required, the nourishing grass to eat, a place to rest their heads, a bit of protection, and something to drink was all that they were concerned about. Paul tells his good friend Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8 that if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. In other words, Paul is saying to Timothy, if you have the basics of life, and I might add there that that could include a roof over our heads, although the Lord Jesus never had a place to call home. If we have food, if we have clothing, and if we have a roof over our heads, friends, we should be content with it. For the Christian who has Jesus as their shepherd, he will care for us. He will provide for what we need. Not necessarily all our evil desires, not necessarily all the lusts that we have for various things, but he will provide for us. I know that during lockdown, some of you have really struggled to keep food on your tables, to feed your family, perhaps even to be able to afford to pay the rent or your bond on your house. But a number of you have told me, and more than once, God is faithful. God is providing what I need. When it looks like I have nothing, when it looks like I'm not going to be able to meet my payments, God provides something for me. You see, friends, when the Lord is our shepherd, we will lack nothing. Society thinks God has lost control because we don't have all that we desire. because we have this virus in our world. But God has said to us, to those who follow Him, if I am your shepherd, you will lack nothing. The second comment that our psalmist makes here this morning is that life happens. Verse 4, you'll notice there, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I think the idea here of walking through the valley of the shadow of death is not necessarily talking about death itself, but those occasions where we wish we were dead. Those occasions where we were near death. Where things were really, really, really going bad. The newer translation of the NIV actually puts it like this. It says that I, even though I walk through the darkest valley, in other words, those dark times, those moments where we find ourselves barely keeping our heads above water, those moments where we are in that really difficult situation. Friends, I don't have to tell you that life throws us many curveballs. Just when we think we've got everything working out well, this curveball comes in and messes everything up. 2020 is a prime example of this. The year started off really well. From my point of view, from the business point of view, I had done more jobs than I'd done in recent years, in the first 3 months of the year. And then the virus. It's messed up the economy. It's possibly even messed up part of our lives. We've had to move, or we've had to sell things, or we've had to really just scrape the bottom of the barrel. Why would God allow something like this to happen to us if He is still in control? But notice that the psalmist doesn't make that question, or doesn't ask that question. The psalmist doesn't say, where are you, God, in the midst of my struggles? He says, Lord, I know I'm in struggles. I know what life is like. I know life is difficult and we are often in dark places. And look what the psalmist says. And here he makes his second amazing statement. As we go through these dark places, he says, verse 4, I will not fear. Friends, life is unpredictable. Life is often not the way we want it. Life can sometimes be cruel. But when we are with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we trust Him with our lives, not only does He give us all that we need, but we do not need to fear what we are going through. Why? Well, notice the reasons David gives us here in the psalm, verse 4. Because He is with us. His rod and His staff comfort me. Friends, when we go through hard times, it's always nice to have someone with us. We've got a dear friend who's just recently lost her husband. Her son is overseas. She needs a hand to hold. And friends, in the case of a true Christian, not only do we have the support of one another within the church, but we have Christ with us all the way. Remember what we said last week as we looked at Psalm 121, that Jesus is like a shadow to us. As we move this way, He's with us. As we move that way, He's with us. Sometimes in front of us, sometimes behind us, sometimes next to us. But He's there always with us. The mention of the rod and staff is a reference to the implements that a shepherd would have in his hands that would not only guide him as he'd be able to knock bushes out the way and clear a pathway, but also he would be able to use them for protection. Both tools are used by the shepherd to keep his sheep safe and to guide them on safe paths. Even when the shepherd would go through dangerous areas, perhaps through a gorge somewhere where there was no escape if a wild animal came, perhaps along the edge of a steep cliff, the shepherd was always there to protect his sheep. And the sheep knew that they were safe when they were around their shepherd. Friends, likewise, when we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives, we will go through hard times, but the Lord our God is with us all the way, leading us, guiding us, protecting us through it. Our society thinks that God has lost control because we go through difficult times. I'm sure we've all read that poem about footprints. In fact, some of you have it up in your homes. But what it is it's a poem that describes two sets of footprints walking on the beach. And suddenly, there's only one set of footprints. And the poet suggests that this is him and Jesus walking together on the beach, and that when he got to a hard time, Jesus seemed to disappear and only he was left walking on the beach. But the poet goes on to say he was wrong in that understanding and realized that when he was going through the hard times, there's only one set of footprints because the Lord Jesus has picked him up and carried him through those difficult times. The psalmist comes to the same conclusion here. Jesus is with us. Those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ do not need to fear the difficulties and the struggles of life, because God is with us. We do not need to fear the virus or hunger or thirst, or anything else for that matter, because Jesus is with us. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to us in Romans concerning this very idea. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, in fact, it's in the bigger passage, but these two verses sum up what he's been saying. He says that he is convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. In other words, what Paul is saying here is that there is no trouble or harm or difficulty that we as Christians face where we are separated from God. Look how he continues in chapter 8, verse 39. None of those things will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, why do we think God has lost control? When the wheels of life fall off, when we are facing these dark moments. No, friends. God is with us. He is carrying us so that we do not need to fear. I was asked towards the beginning of the lockdown back in March, April time, am I scared of this virus? My straight answer to this person was, no, I am not. Yes, I will try not to get it, and I will be cautious, and I will do the necessary social distancing and wear the mask, but I'm not scared of it. I don't have to fear because I know the Lord is with me. So friends, the Lord is our shepherd if we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. And as he is our shepherd, we will never be in want. We will never be short of what our needs are. We are also, as we walk through life, as life happens, we need to understand that we do not need to fear because God is there with us. But look at the third statement, if you like, that the psalmist makes here, verses 5 really through to verse 6, that God is preparing the way for us. The psalmist now gives us hope as we face the struggles and the difficulties of this world, the dark valleys. Look what he says, verse 5, that the Lord God is preparing a table for us. He is anointing our heads with oil, and our cups are overflowing. Because of God's goodness and love, or mercy, as some of the older translations have. The idea is that right through life, God is preparing us to come and sit at his table, at his great wedding banquet, where we are seated in the very presence of God. The psalmist tells us to give us hope. The psalmist tells us that because God is preparing this meal for us, preparing the table for us, again he makes a third amazing statement, I will live forever. As I said last week, we spend our whole lives trying to make this little bit of our life better. And we fail often to prepare for the rest of eternity. We think that God has lost control. We think that he is not with us each step of the way. But friends, he hasn't lost control. He is there with us, protecting us, guiding us, providing for our needs. As he prepares us and the venue, which is heaven, for our arrival. You remember Jesus' parable at the wedding feast, where he spoke about those who came to the feast who were issued with wedding clothes, and those who came and didn't put those wedding clothes on. Friends, that's what the Lord is doing for us. He's given us the wedding clothes. His Son, Jesus, who forgives us of our sin and gives us white robes, as Revelation tells us, pure robes. And yet we try to get into heaven by wearing our filthy rags and thinking that we can approach God. Friends, the psalmist is adamant here that as Jesus prepares the way for us, as he prepares the table in the presence of God for us to go and eat at that great banquet, he is giving us hope that we will live with him forever, despite the fact that we go through these dark valleys, despite the fact that we sometimes struggle in life. God is still in complete control of the things of this world. And we do well to remember this, friends, as we face our struggles and our difficulties, as we trust in him. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is still in control. Have you trusted him? Are you continuing to trust him? Maybe comment in the description, in the comment section below here, if you need us to get hold of you. Drop us a line on WhatsApp or contact us through the website. We'd love to speak to you about this. Perhaps you're having difficulties and saying, well, God doesn't always meet my needs. Chat to us. Perhaps you're wondering how you can continue in this dark area that you're in. Get hold of us and come chat with us. But friends, don't forget, God is in control. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this amazing portion of Scripture. We thank you, Lord, for again reminding us and showing us that you are indeed the shepherd of our life, that you do care for us and provide us with our basic needs. We thank you, Lord, that even though we go through dark places, you are always there with us. Not only there with us, but leading us, guiding us, protecting us. But Lord, as we go through life as well, help us also to reflect on the fact that you are getting us ready to be in the presence of God. Because we know that when we are in you, we will live forever. So help us to hang on to that, Lord, when there's nothing else to hang on to. Help us and protect us and keep us safe, we pray. Amen. Well, friends, just one notice this morning, and that is just to say that we are starting church next week. So 9 o'clock next Sunday morning, that is the 4th of October. We will be starting up church again. Of course, all the normal social distancing rules and practices are still in play. So we will be sanitizing. We will be taking temperatures. You will need to fill in a little register of attendance. We will allow family groups to sit together. But you need to be at least a meter and a half away from other family groups. So chairs are going to be a little bit random within the church, but don't worry about that. It'll be great to have you with us. And so do join us next Sunday, 9 o'clock, here at the church. Have a great week, and God bless.